Welcome to the first of what I hope will be many bonus episodes for the Audible Ecstasy podcast. I'd initially planned to start a new podcast called Songlines and Power Chords, but the idea of doing two podcasts and working on this podcast seemed like a daunting and impossible task. I've tried that before and failed miserably at it, but I was sitting on this idea and wanted to turn this idea into a reality, but I didn't know how to do that. Light bulb moment. Ba-ding! Is that what a light bulb sounds like? Probably not. Anyways, the light bulb moment, Audible Ecstasy Podcast bonus episodes. Yay! Genius, right? At least I think so. With all that said, and that big introduction out of the way, here are the four bands I want to cover in these bonus episodes, and not only cover, but dive deep into as many albums by them as I can. First up, Rush. Love their sound and want to explore them deeper, and Chris isn't as big a fan, which I get. Kind of a band that if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But I do want to dive into their albums, and the best way to do that is through this bonus content. We have covered Moving Pictures, so you can go back and listen to that one if you want. And Jimmy and I are going to dive into A Farewell to Kings very soon. That's one of my favorite albums by Rush. I might bring Jimmy on board from time to time because he enjoys Rush like I do, and it might be fun to talk some Rush with someone else. Greta Van Fleet, just discovered them, and we just covered them. I love their sound and want to find out more about them. And I feel like the album we just covered, From the Fires, is probably the only album we will cover. With this bonus content, I'll be able to dive deeper into their music and their albums. The Score, some of you guys probably haven't heard of them. My kid introduced them to me, actually, so kind of interesting, right? And I don't listen to them all that often. They're not one of my go-to bands, but I like their sound, and they have a small selection of albums, so it shouldn't be too hard to walk my way through each one of them. And who knows, maybe I'll come out on the other side a little bit bigger a fan. And maybe you'll come out a bigger fan, too. And the last one, for now, Ice Nine Kills. I've been obsessed with the Silver Scream, so has my son, to the detriment of probably my wife, because they do drop a few F-bombs occasionally. Sorry, honey. And I thought it might be nice to explore their music beyond that album. And it's another band I know we will not review on this podcast. I've been told as much by Chris. So those are the four bands I'm going to dive into and go as hard into their albums as I can. But I also have some other bands I want to talk about as well. But I don't want to dive as deep into their music. Maybe just an album or two. Bands like Dirty Honey, Muse, Five Finger Death Punch. Maybe throw in a Death Leopard album we won't cover. Things like that. And I hope all that sounds good, and I hope you enjoy the bonus episodes. And speaking of bonus episodes, it's time to dive into Rush, and I am starting at the start with their debut album called Rush, and the first song on that album. Killer tune, and that would have been the first song you heard by this band if you picked up this album back in 1974. I was about to turn two that year. Don't do the math. Just know I am growing older, but not up, as Jimmy Buffett likes to say. Finding My Way, the song you just heard, has seen the concert stage 235 times, first time in August of 1974, and the last time it was played live was in March of 1985, back when Rush was going through their pop phase. It was the biggest song for them in concert, as you can tell. And was it played more, less, earlier, later? Who knows? Possibly. But that gives you a basic idea of how much that song was performed in concert over the years. Apple Music has some great blurbs. And if you know me, I love a good blurb about most of Rush's albums. So here's the blurb for Rush's self-titled debut album. Before drummer Neil Peart joined Rush for its second album, Fly By Night, the Canadian trio were rooted in blues rock not far removed from Savoy Brown, Black Oak, Arkansas, or even Led Zeppelin. The band's 1974 self-titled debut album is a tight, tough collection of hard rock riffs that only resembles Rush in its primordial power. The menacing boogie of What You're Doing, the 3 a.m. blues moan of Here Again, and the arena rock frolic of Finding My Way make for solid stadium rock, but the songs do lack the conceptual ambitions, the hyena-like screechings, and rhythmic complexities of the trio's most noted work. In a moment of geographical dislocation, In the Mood practically moves the band into southern rock territory, and with cowbell. Before and After swells like an early power ballad in the making, before turning towards more boogie. Working Man resembles Black Sabbath, and on it goes. Drummer John Rutsey was a solid percussionist, but the band was in need of a distinctive song stylist to separate them from the glut of blues-influenced bands of the era. Peart was on the way. Good stuff to learn, and Neil was on the way. But don't sleep on John. He did a great job on the drums, but this band wouldn't be anywhere without Neil. We all know that, but John was a solid drummer, and he deserves a lot of credit for helping Rush get started. Now on to the second song that I want to cover, and it's a monster. Love that song. Been a fan of Working Man for a very long time. Who hasn't heard that on classic rock radio throughout the years? It's an iconic tune from an iconic band, and it's a tune that I didn't realize was on Rush's first album. And it was a juggernaut. I mean a juggernaut in concert. 906 times live, according to Setlist FM. First time in 1974. And the last time it was played live was in 2015, the year they retired from touring. Now, here's a bit more about the song Working Man from songfacts.com. Rush released their self-titled debut album on their own label, Moon Records, in 1974. A DJ named Donna Halper at WMMS in Cleveland, Ohio, listened to the last track, Working Man, and put it on the air, giving the band liftoff. It fit her criteria for three reasons. One, Cleveland was a working town, and the lyrics were very relatable to their audience. Two, WMMS was an album-oriented rock station, so they looked for songs that other stations weren't playing. Three, running 7 minutes and 7 seconds, the song gave plenty of time for the DJ to take a bathroom or smoke break. Immediately, the radio station received calls from people asking when the new Led Zeppelin album was coming out. They were surprised to learn that the vocalist was not Robert Plant, but Geddy Lee, lead singer for a new band called Rush. Thanks to the airplay, the album picked up steam in Cleveland and got the attention of Mercury Records, which signed the band and re-released the album with their promotional might behind it. Longtime Rush roadie Ian Grandy once heard Geddy Lee state that if there was one ultimate Rush song, it's Working Man. And this was the last song Rush played live, using it as the capper to their R40 Live tour, which ended on August 1st, 2015, with a show at the Forum near Los Angeles. On the tour, they played songs in reverse chronological order, starting with their newest songs and working backwards, with the backdrops changing to reflect the era. I hope you enjoyed this deepish dive into Rush's first album, and this is the way all my bonus episodes will go. Get a couple songs, get some facts, get some knowledge. So I hope you'll enjoy that. And if you did enjoy it, let me know. And if you have thoughts on this album, or Rush in general, let me know that too. Time to close out the episode. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And if you do enjoy what I do here, don't forget to rate and review this podcast once you finish the episode. And if you need to drop me a line, you can find out how to do that in the show notes. Take care, and thanks for listening.